to turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 2 verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they, the elect, may also, in addition to myself, obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You notice that it begins with therefore. So again, it looks back upon something previously stated, which takes us back to verse 9, wherein, which also looks back and looks back to the last word of verse 8, gospel. So therefore, wherein I suffer trouble, that is affliction, as an evildoer, as though I were a doer of evil, treated as a criminal, even the bonds, Paul's in prison, but the word of God, which would be the gospel in this case, is not bound, is not imprisoned and chained like I am. In other words, it has free course. And then comes our text, therefore, I endure, I continue, I remain, without giving into the pressure. I endure all things. Again, reference being made to the bond, the trouble and the bonds that he's already spoken of. I endure all things for the elect's, that is, the chosen, which specifies that God has a purpose and an intent. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they, the elect, may also obtain, that they may gain, that they may gain possession of the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That is, it results in eternal glory. So Paul is declaring God, by his unchangeable purpose, has by grace and according to the sovereign good pleasure of his will, chose a people to obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. That truth is stated in this verse. But we want to center our thoughts this morning upon that last phrase, the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. The subject matter of that phrase is salvation. That's the subject. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus. And we want to take notice of this salvation that is spoken of. So our subject this morning is simply the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus. First of all, there is such a thing as salvation. Notice here in our text, the salvation. The is a definitive adjective in this case. In other words, it is used to define something specific. In this case, salvation. the salvation. The is a restrictive word. In this case, it's not just talking about any deliverance, any so-called salvation. It is specific. It is the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul is speaking of a salvation that is in Christ Jesus. And this is not some imaginary fantasy. This is not some dream. This is not a mere figure of speech. But we read the salvation which is. It's real. It's literal. It is so real and so literal that it can be obtained. You can possess it. So the salvation being spoken of is real. It's literal. It's something that's genuine. It is something that is certain. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus. It is something that is very definite. Salvation is a deliverance. Salvation is a release, a setting free, a rescue, a sparing, a transformation. And in our text, this deliverance, this release, this setting free, this rescue, this sparing and transformation is very specific. It's in Christ Jesus. It is this salvation that is vividly and pointedly declared all through this book. It's declared everywhere and declared very, very plainly. It is beautifully pictured and typified all through the Word of God. It is illustrated all through the Word of God. It is illustrated in the biblical historical accounts. It is illustrated in many of the miracles of both the Old and New Testament. Again, the salvation. He's speaking of a very specific deliverance, a very specific setting free, a very deliberate rescue and transformation. And it's a reality. It is emphatically declared in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So this salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, is a salvation for sinners. We read in 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin, and the Bible tells us that all have sinned, but whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, that is the law of God. For sin is the transgression of the law. So sin is any infraction, any violation, whether in act or thought, of God's law. And all have sinned. But our text declares that there is such a thing as salvation. There is such a thing as a deliverance, a release. There is a rescue, a sparing, a transformation for sinners, for those who have broken the law of God. There is such a thing as salvation for those who have rebelled against the authority of God. There is such a thing as salvation for sinners who are covered with the filth and the vileness of sin. There is such a thing as salvation for those who are filled with the abominations and the corruption of sin. There is such a thing as salvation for the unrighteous, for the unworthy, for the undeserving. Someone says, well, I'm just not worthy. No, you're not. But there is a salvation for the unworthy. There is such a thing as salvation for sinners who are at enmity with God and who are condemned before God and unacceptable in the sight of God. There is such a thing as salvation for the guilty and perishing sinner. There is such a thing as salvation. So I must ask you, is this salvation a reality to you? Have you obtained? Do you possess this salvation? Now, the implication of salvation, deliverance, is desperate need. The very word salvation implies a bondage, a slavery, or a misery, or an imprisonment of some kind. There is the implication of a crisis. There is the implication of an emergency. There is the implication of something that is dreadful, or frightening, alarming, desperate, pressing. Something is urgent. Salvation is a word that implies inability and helplessness on the part of those who need saving. They would not need saving if they could save themselves. So the implication is that they are unable to help themselves. They are helpless. The unsaved sinner is separated, alienated, and estranged from God. And that unsaved sinner is helplessly trapped in the prison house of sin. Helplessly trapped in a state of darkness. Helplessly gripped in the chains and shackles of sin. And helplessly ensnared in the disgrace and the defeat of sin. You see, this unsaved sinner, without God, deceived, blind, hardened, at enmity with God, a criminal against God, a rejecter and a resister of God, void of any acceptable righteousness to God. And there he or she is, and they're just sinking deeper and deeper into the destruction and the loss that sin brings. You see, the unsaved sinner is destitute. They don't have the peace of God. They don't have the rest that comes from God. They don't have the cleansing that comes from God. They don't have the forgiveness and the reconciliation and the acceptance that comes from God, that only God can give. They are destitute. Not only are they destitute, but they are spiritually bankrupt. They have nothing to offer unto God for acceptance. There's nothing that they can offer to God for acceptance before God. And this unsaved sinner is headed in the direction of eternal damnation. And they are worthy. They are deserving of such. You see, the unsaved sinner is deceived by Satan. And they live their lives under the control and outlook of the mentality of a sinful world that is moving further and further and further from God. This unsaved sinner lives their life carried along by the twisted desires of a sinfully depraved nature. And they live their lives, they live a life that is opposed to their own well-being. They live a life that is set against the comfort and the joy and the peace and the tranquility that they so earnestly crave. But they live a life that is opposed to these things. The unsaved sinner lives their life in the destruction of sin, in the ruin, and in the emptiness of sin. And there they are, so securely held by the chains and shackles of sin that they cannot possibly escape on their own. People will come into the prison house, others that are in the same prison house, and they will give advice. Go to church. Do this. Do that. But nothing loosens the grip that sin has upon them. Nothing works. There they are. Their minds, their wills, their affections, their entire being. So enmeshed in the power of sin that they do not understand, they do not comprehend their desperate need, and they do not come to God on their own. There is no greater crisis than a sinner in his or her sins. There is no greater danger. There is no greater problem. There is no greater need. There is nothing more serious. And there is nothing of greater consequence than a sinner with the just condemnation of God hanging over their heads. And it can come to fruition at any moment. There is no greater crisis or urgency. And there is no human solution to the magnitude of this crisis. There are no means of human devisings to this need. But there is such a thing as salvation or deliverance, rescue, sparing, and transformation from the world's greatest and most dreadful crisis. It is a salvation for the guilty. You say, I feel so guilty. That's good. You ought to. And I'm here to tell you today there's a salvation for the guilty. There's a salvation for the unworthy. There's a salvation for the undeserving. There's a salvation for sinners. It is a salvation for preachers. It is a salvation for deacons. It is a salvation for church members. It is a salvation for popes and priests and nuns and choir members. It is a salvation for grandmothers and grandfathers and moms and dads and children. It is also a salvation for drunks and drug addicts and pimps and pushers and adulterers and adulteresses and fornicators and homosexuals and the transgender and thieves and murderers. And praise God, it is a salvation which is. That's what our text says. The salvation which is. The salvation which is. That means that it presently exists. If you're here today and unsaved, what you need presently exists. The salvation which is. Read those words again and again and again. The salvation which is. Read it again. The salvation which is. Read it again. The salvation which is. Unsaved sinner, there is a salvation which is. Every sin deserves the eternal wrath of Almighty God. If you're here and unsaved, at this very moment, you are trapped. You are imprisoned in the depths, in the darkness, in the gloom, the misery, in the eternal ruin of sin. And there is no arm of flesh able or long enough to bring you out from the pit that you are in. And there are no mental faculties of mankind to figure a way out of the pit that you are in. And you cannot escape of your own efforts. But there is right now the salvation which is. There is right now a real deliverance, a real release, a real setting free, a real rescue, a real sparing, a real transformation from spiritual and eternal death and from the spiritual grave that you are in. There is right now, at this very moment, a rescue from your unconsciousness of God. There is at this very moment a rescue from the depths of your separation and alienation and estrangement from God. There is right now a rescue from the darkness and from the enmity and from the spiritual bankruptcy and from the condemnation that you are currently in. There is, right now, at this very moment, right where you sit, a salvation. The salvation that you so desperately need. You see, every unsaved sinner needs to realize that at any moment, what we read of Lazarus in Luke 16:23, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. That could be you at any moment. Lazarus was not planning on dying that day, but that day in hell, he lift up his eyes. Your next step could plunge you into hell. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Whatever your plans might be, those plans can be interrupted. If you're here and unsaved and in hell, he lift up his eyes. But there is a release. There is a rescue. There is a deliverance. There is a sparing from that danger. There is a sparing from the destruction and the sickness of sin. There is a sparing from the curse of the law, which is the soul that sinneth shall die. Not just a physical death, but eternal death. There is right now at this very moment, right where you are, a sparing from what your sin deserves. A sparing from the most loathsome thing in the universe. Sin. Thank God for those words. The salvation which is. The salvation which is. Notice it does not say the salvation which was. It is the salvation which is. There's hope. There's hope in those words. Again, this salvation which we speak is real. And it meets the desperate and urgent need of the unsaved sinner. And it presently exists. Which brings us to our next point. It can be had. You notice the word obtain in our text. That they may also obtain. To get the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and eternal glory. To come into possession of. The salvation, again, is real. It's literal. It is something that can be personally experienced, personally possessed. The salvation, which is, can be obtained. Everyone enters this life needing a righteousness that they do not have. I've been in many a birthing room, and every time I think that little infant, they enter this world with a righteousness that they do not have, or in need of a righteousness that they do not have. Oh God, grant them that righteousness. Everyone enters this life needing the demands of God's law satisfied on their behalf. And everyone enters this life needing forgiveness, cleansing, and acceptance before God. And every one of those things are found in the salvation which is. Every one of them. And they can be obtained. The question is this salvation something that you have personally experienced in your life? You say, well, I'm not sure. Let me tell you something, you don't have it. You can't experience this and not know it. Then we see that this salvation is only available in Christ. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus. This salvation of which we speak is in Christ Jesus. It's not obtained through genealogy. Well, my grandma was a religious lady. That doesn't help you any. It is not in religion of any kind. It is not in and cannot be obtained in baptism or the Mass or any other, and there's many, religious formula. This salvation is not in good works, because Isaiah tells us our good works are as filthy rags before God. They're unacceptable. It is not in good intentions. Well, I mean well. It's not found in the will of man. It's not found in the prayers of man. And though it is not found in the efforts of man, there is right now, at this very present moment, a God-provided salvation for sinners. It is a salvation provided by God and through and in the person of Jesus Christ. There is salvation. And it is a salvation that can be possessed by the sinner. A salvation that is available and can be possessed by the transgressor, by the rebel, and by the unrighteous, by the unworthy, by the undeserving, by the condemned and unacceptable. But it can only be possessed in Christ. You will not find it anywhere else. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus. You see, outside of Christ is to be forever separated from God. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no reconciliation. There is no peace with God. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no spiritual rest for the weary soul. Outside of Jesus Christ, all is lost. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no cleansing. There is no forgiveness. There is no acceptance with God. But glory to God, we read in our text, the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. There is a salvation. And it's in Christ. And Jesus Christ is prepared, He's qualified, He's equipped to do the work that God sent Him to do, which is to save sinners from the immeasurable depths of the power of sin. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Right now, at this very moment, there is salvation for perishing, hell-deserving sinners. And it's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only answer. He's the only remedy. The man's awful condition of sin. It is a salvation that can never be earned, can never be merited. It cannot be purchased. right now, in Christ Jesus, there is what you need as an unsaved sinner. The salvation that is the only way of escape from the eternal wrath of God is right now in Christ Jesus. You will not find it anywhere else. You can go to every church you can possibly go to. Salvation is not in church. You can talk to every preacher on this earth, but salvation is not in the preacher. You can talk to those that you know are saved, but salvation is not in them. Salvation is in Christ Jesus, and you will not find it anywhere else. You will not obtain it through any other means. You see, Jesus Christ has already obtained the salvation for sinners. He's done so in His own righteousness, His death, burial, and resurrection. You need to put your trust in the person of Jesus Christ, in the work of Jesus Christ. Letting go of any dependence you have on yourself to get you to heaven. Depend entirely upon Jesus Christ. Because there is a salvation which is, and it's in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, notice this salvation results in eternal glory. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but only the salvation which is in Jesus Christ will get you there. Amen. What does this mean? Salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It means this salvation is reliable. It'll take you all the way to heaven. The salvation of which we speak, always, without fail, results in its recipients being made fit for heaven. It is a salvation that always results in its recipients being adopted into the family of God, and being made joint heirs with Jesus Christ and being blessed abundantly. It is a salvation that includes an inheritance and causes one to be a partaker of the promises of God. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory is a salvation that will never fail. It will never be revoked. Those who have this salvation are saved to the uttermost and shall never perish. Oh, you saved people, you think you're better than everyone else. No. We've simply put our trust in the one who is better than everyone else, Jesus Christ. It is a salvation that will take you through all the storms of this life, through all the temptations, through all the pain, through all the sorrow and afflictions, through all the difficulties, to be forever with the Lord. Oh, what a blessed salvation. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus. I have to ask you, have you personally experienced the salvation which is in Jesus Christ? Can you go to a time or place in your life and you were in the bondage of sin, and the Lord came and set you free and transformed your life. If you cannot recall, you don't have to know the exact date. But if you cannot recall a time when you met Jesus Christ face to face, and you came to Him ceasing to trust yourself, placing all your trust in His person and work, if you have not had such a time, you are in danger of leaving this life without Christ. But I've got good news for you today. There is a salvation which is, but it's in Christ Jesus, which simply means there's hope. There's hope for the unsaved sinner, because there is a salvation which is. Once you leave this life, that salvation no longer is for you. That's it. You don't want to leave this life without Christ. The worst thing that can happen to anybody is to die in your sins. To leave this life without knowing Jesus Christ. But there is hope, because there is the salvation which is, and which is in Christ Jesus. Do you know the Lord today? If you do, you ought to rejoice. You ought to rejoice all the way to heaven that you know Him. And if you don't, I pray that you would feel the urgency of your situation, because it is an urgent situation. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.